Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for this gift. Thank you for this wonderful portion of your word. We pray, Father, that it will have a deep impact on us this morning. But for that to happen, we need your Holy Spirit, and we ask for him this morning. And how we need our hearts to be ready to receive your word with joy, and to receive your word as just that, your word. And your word for us, your word for our lives, your word for our instruction, your word for our comfort, leading, guidance, and empowerment. And so, Lord, let your word have that effect upon us this morning. And we ask you to do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I think back to all of the tests, or as many tests as I can possibly remember that I've ever taken in my life, there's one test that really stands out above all of them, and it was the time when I was going to get my driver's license. And I don't know how many of you can remember that time. Maybe some of you haven't got there yet, and you've thought about that, and the thought of it makes you almost nauseous. It made me nauseous, and I was so worried that I was going to fail the exam. And you know, I got into the car with my instructor, and one of the first things I did was I turned left, and I almost got into a huge car accident. There was a massive truck bearing down on us, and I cut right in front of it. And I made the turn, and I looked over at my instructor, and she had this look on her face as though to say, "What is wrong with you?" And needless to say, I didn't get my license that day. I failed. I just wasn't ready to drive, and that's what the exam showed. I just wasn't ready. You know, exams have a way of showing us things that we need to know. They have a way of revealing, of gathering information for us. And that's one of the big reasons why God sends tests our way in life. He does so that we will know certain things about ourselves, and particularly where our faith is really at in terms of God. God sends tests our way to show us the genuineness of our faith. Hey, listen, unless your faith is tested, or until your faith is tested, you really can't know the genuineness of your faith. You can say, "I believe this and I believe that." It's when the tests come, it's when the rubber meets the road, that we really learn what is in our heart. Do we believe him? Are we going to take him at his word? Well, this morning, we're going to look at the test that God put upon Abraham. And it is, I think, arguably the most difficult and the most severe test that anybody has ever had to undergo. Verses 17, 18, and 19 lay out that test for us. And the test goes something like this. God had promised Abraham that he would have a son, and that through this son, the family line, the family name would continue. As it says later on, "In Isaac shall your seed be called." God said, "I'm going to give you a great big family, a family as big as the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. And I'm going to do it through a son whom I'm going to give you. His name will be Isaac." And God gave him Isaac. And this was the one to carry on the family name, the only one to carry on the family name. And then one day God came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, kill that son." The only one through whom the promise will go and your name will continue. I want you to take him and kill him. Friends, there is hardly a test that can compare to this one in terms of its severity, in terms of its difficulty. Matthew Henry said it like this: It is a trial that would overturn, it would have overturned the strongest mind inhabited by a body. John Calvin said, there is hardly another like it. It is impossible to exaggerate the difficulty of this trial. Imagine being called to kill your only child. Imagine being called by God to put his life to an end. Moreover, imagine this. You know that the only way for your family line to continue is through that son, because God has promised it. And add to this, that God had promised that Jesus Christ would come through this line. And so to kill Isaac was effectively to kill the line of Christ, to kill Christ, so to speak, and to shut off all hope of salvation. Imagine the difficulty. Imagine the turmoil in Abraham's heart. This man has the whole wide world and the hopes of the world on his shoulders. What's he going to do? How's he going to respond? Well, we know the story. We know that Abraham passes the test. He does it with flying colors. And that's so encouraging because, friends, if Abraham could pass the most difficult test in history, there's hope for you. There would have been hope for the Hebrew Christians in their time of persecution, when their land was being confiscated, when they were being pressured to leave Christ and go back to their old way, to their old life. There's hope for us this morning. No matter what trial God sends, no matter what test he sends your way, we know this. That by faith, we can taste the victory of faith. By faith, we can do what God asks us to do, even when that seems like an impossibility. This morning, what we're going to do, we're going to learn how to take this test. I want to give you a couple study notes this morning. And the first study note is simply this. How do you pass such tests? One, by faith, you do whatever God asks, no matter how difficult that might seem. By faith, you do whatever God asks, no matter how difficult that might seem. Because that's what Abraham did. We're told that by faith, when tested, Abraham offered up his son Isaac. The way it's really worded in Genesis is this. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him up there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. And I think it would have been so easy to understand or to appreciate this kind of response by Abraham. I think it's so easy to just imagine him struggling and complaining to God and saying, God, this doesn't make any sense. I don't know how this is going to work out. I think we would have understood if he had said, well, you know, Lord, maybe I'll consider it. I'll think about that, but, I'm not really sure about that. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if he just flat out refused. God, I just don't think I can do this. This is my son. And you're asking me to kill him? I'm not really sure I can comply with that. I don't think I can go through with that. And what's staggering is Abraham's response to God's call to kill Isaac. We're told that the very next day, Abraham got up. And what did he do? Here's what he did. He started chopping wood, fuel for his son's destruction. We're told that he gathered the wood, he saddled the donkey, he made a 3-day trip towards Moriah, he got up that mountain, he built an altar, he bound his son, he put him on that altar, he put a knife to his throat and was about to slit his throat and kill him. That's obedience. That's doing whatever God asks. You've got to ask yourself this question this morning, friends. How on earth did Abraham do that? How? Well, the author of Hebrews tells us how. He says, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up his son. There is no way that Abraham had the strength to do this by himself. And this is not some bare exertion of his will. He's not white-knuckling through this. He's not muscling his way to obedience. If that had been the case, there is absolutely no way that Isaac would have ended up on that altar. There is no way that he would have stayed the course and put his boy on those stones. There's no way. And you know that from your own experience, don't you? You know that when God tests us, when God sends trials into our lives, you know, which of us is sufficient in ourselves to be faithful through them? You know as well as I do that if you're trying to go it on your own strength, oftentimes we back off. We refuse to do what we know God to be calling us to do or the Spirit be leading us to do. We just flat out refuse. We don't come to a place like Abraham that looks anything like putting a son on an altar. How on earth did he do this? It was by faith, wasn't it? It had to be by faith. It had to be by faith. Wouldn't you agree with me that when the trials come, when the tests come, that so often our thinking is to hold on to our lives, hold on to things that God is saying, give me. To cling tightly to the things He's saying, I want you to surrender and sacrifice. Because we don't know how giving those things away, giving them to God, is going to make it possible for God to prove true to His promises. We just don't see it. And there's such a temptation to cling to whatever it is you know God's calling you to give up. Because you just don't see how God can come through. It's by faith, friends, that we do this. It's by faith and faith alone. Now, Paul said in Philippians that when he looks over his life about being in poverty and being wealthy, about being hungry and fed, he says, you know, I have learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Romans 1 verse 5 talks about the obedience that comes through faith. You know, friends, I want you to listen to this morning. How do we do the things that God is calling us to do when that makes His promises seem impossible to us? How do we do this? By faith. It's by resting on Him. It's by trusting in Him to come through and to work out what seems to us to be a massive quandary and problem. And so my question to you this morning is this: what is God calling you to do? What is God asking you to offer up, to give up, to sacrifice, and to surrender? What is it? Is it sin? Is it some sin in your life? You think, how could I ever, ever give that up? How could God's promises ever work their way into my life? The promise for satisfaction, the promise for pleasure, the promise of His presence being so great that I don't feel alone. My soul isn't hungering. Can I really give that up? And how can I give that up and God still be true to His promise? It seems impossible. Is He asking you to give up your career? Is He asking you to lay that on the altar? Is it your reputation? You're clinging to it, maybe. What is it? Is it your freedom? You want to hang on to it. You don't want to give it up. You don't know how giving it up to God works with His promises. You can't see it. You know, one thing's for sure. He is calling you to give up your life. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, You know it. Come on, quote it with me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in light of the mercy of God, to present your bodies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. What is God asking you to do? What is the Spirit of God calling you to do? One thing's for sure. Your life and my life must be a constant sacrifice and surrender to Him. Even if we don't see, even if we don't get how He's going to come through. And be true to His Word. Here's the question. How do you and I do what God says, whatever He asks, when that seems like an impossibility? And the answer, my friends, the only answer, the only satisfactory answer, and the answer that Abraham shows us this morning is, you do it by faith. You trust Him. You trust Him to work out what for you is an insoluble problem. And you believe that He can work it out. You do it by faith. You do whatever He asks by faith. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Somebody asked Alexander the Great once to what he attributed all of his successes. He said, I never delayed. I never waited. I just did it. And I conquered. Where does the victory of faith come from? It comes when we decide, resolve to listen to God, to do whatever He asks, to give up, offer up, sacrifice, and surrender everything. And do it by faith, believing that He can work it out. We do it by faith. And here's the second study note that I want you to see this morning. It's this. The second way to pass these severe trials. By faith, you count Him able. By faith, you count Him able, no matter how difficult that may seem. You know, I'd love to know what a lot of the Old Testament saints were thinking in the stories that I read. I just would. But, you know, we're not told always what they're thinking. I'd love to know what David was thinking when he cut off Goliath's head. I'd love to know what Noah was thinking when the rain started to come. I'd like to know a lot of things, but we're just not told. When you read through Genesis 22... we don't really know for sure. We're not told explicitly what was going on in Abraham's thinking. But the Holy Spirit knew, and the Holy Spirit has told us here in Hebrews 11 what was going on in Abraham's mind, what exactly he was thinking. You want to know what it was? It was this. You want to know what he was thinking when God said, I want you to take your son, your only son, the one through whom I have promised to carry on your line, and through whom Christ will eventually come for the salvation of the world. Here's what he was doing. Look down your Bibles. There's the answer. We're told this, that he considered him able to raise Isaac from the dead. He considered him able. He considered him powerful. He considered him able to do everything needed for God to keep his word, to prove true to what he had promised. He counted him able. The Genesis account actually hints at that. Because when Abraham was on his way up to Moriah, he said to his servants, men, stay here, because I and the boy are going to go yonder. And then when we finish offering up that burnt sacrifice, we're going to come down together. And the assumption was, the implication is, he believed that God was going to work a miracle on top of Moriah. He believed that God would raise his son from death. And that the two of them would come back down that mountain the way they had gone up. He believed that. Abraham, like every Old Testament saint, believed in the resurrection of the dead. He believed that God would raise his son from death to life. That was the only way he could figure it out. That was the only way he could reconcile the command to kill his son and the promise to continue his line through Isaac. In Isaac, your seed will be called. He counted him able and powerful. And friends, here is the way that we solve the quandary that we face so often. When God calls us to do something, when the Spirit tells us to follow Him, and we don't know how doing that is going to work out, how it is possible. Abraham counted him able. He said, God, you're powerful. You can do this. In fact, when you look at the Old Testament saints, time and again, when they run into serious problems, when God tests them, this is the first thing that comes out of their mouths. Think of Nehemiah. The temple is in ruins. And what does he do? He prays this. O Lord God of heaven and earth, the great and awesome God. That is considering God able. You think of David when he was harassed by his enemies. He says this in one of the Psalms. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. That is counting him able. The church, when it was persecuted, they got together in a prayer meeting. And here's what comes out of their mouths. Sovereign Lord, who made the sea and the earth and the heavens. That is counting him able. Time and again, when the people of God are tested, they contemplate and they consider and they count him able, powerful, to work out his promise, no matter how difficult that might seem. And by counting, I'm not talking about some cold mechanical thing you do where when the trials come, you say to yourself, well, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to think that God is powerful right now. That's not what it is. That word considering is a word that means to analyze carefully and to come to some conclusion based on firm evidence. And that's what Abraham did. He looked at this God of power. He looked for the evidence of God's power. And then he came to the firm belief and conviction that God was able. Well, what did he do? How did he do that? Well, how about just thinking back to the time when God gave him a son when he was almost dead and his wife's womb was dead. He looks back and he sees evidence of God's power. And now he believes that God can do what is absolutely impossible for man. He can raise Isaac from death to life. He considered him powerful. You know, friends, when we go through the hard times, the tests, the trials, here's the way that we are sustained through them. And the way that we pass the test that God sends our way, we do it by counting him, by considering him able. We look for evidence of his power, don't we? So where is the evidence? It's all around you, in fact. It's all around you. All you have to do is just open your eyes. Go for a walk. Look at your life. Look at the way that God has been with you. Keeping you. Protecting you. Taking you through trial after trial after trial. He wants you to look back at those things. David says in Psalm 63, "For you have been my help. Therefore, I sing in the shadow of your wings." That's counting him able. Jesus said, if you get stressed out about food, if you get stressed out about what you're going to wear, what does he say to do? Go bird watching. Consider the birds of the air. Go pick some flowers. Consider the lilies of the field. Just go walk. Understand my power. You can't see how it's going to work out. You don't understand how I'm going to fulfill my promise. You think that what I'm calling you to do is going to get in the way of that. Just go for a walk. Open your eyes. Look at your life. See my power. Count me able. That was the only thing, my friends, that sustained Abraham through the most difficult trial ever. And God was so good to him because Abraham didn't have to kill his son in the end. God stayed his hand at the very last minute and said, stop. Because now I know that you fear me because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. And God took a ram in his place. But you see, Abraham's intention was to kill the son. And the author of Hebrews says that because that was his intention, he did receive Isaac back from death figuratively speaking, so to speak. The deed was as good as done, you see. What's amazing is that same mountain that Abraham and Isaac came back down from is the same mountain that years later Christ would go up. And he would lay his life down on an altar. Except the Father would not stay his hand. And he smote his son. And his blood drained from his body for your sins and mine. It was through faith, by counting him able, that Abraham was sustained through the darkest hour of his life. And maybe this morning you feel like doing what God is calling you to do and allowing him to lead you where he is leading you seems like the loss of a dream. Friends, it is not the loss of a dream. You may think that because you're doing what you know God is calling you to do, that that's going to mean nothing but misery. Like killing my son. But it's not misery. It's not the end of life. It's not the end of your joy. It is an opportunity for God to manifest his power and to reconcile for you what is an impossibility. God calls you to trust him. God calls you to believe in him. God calls you to count him able, to know that he's powerful, so that even if you don't get it, can't see it, you understand that he sees all things and can do whatever he wants and will work all things for good. That's the lesson that Abraham teaches us. And this word is in your Bibles this morning to show you that no matter what test God sends your way, he is able, more than able, to do whatever it takes to prove true to his word and his promises to you. Amen. Well, Father, we pray that we will look at our father Abraham, the father of faith, and not fear, but have a faith like his. And Father, a faith like his, so that when the tests do come, when the trials come, we find ourselves in the dark night of our souls, wrestling with your call upon us, that call to give up and surrender, to sacrifice what is dearest and most precious to us. When that seems, Father, like the end of the road and the death of a dream, we pray, Father, that you will give us the faith, a faith to sustain us through that test, and a faith, Father, that discovers that you are more than able to keep your word and fulfill your promises to us. Indeed, Father, that it is your delight to glorify your name by doing what is impossible with man, but what is possible for you. And Lord, we pray that here this morning we would know this, that nothing is too hard for you. Amen.